Hello and welcome back to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime using the free episode rule. I'm your host Nikki, and joining me are Ace.
Hello.
And Rhodes.
Hello.
We're back with another extended first episode of the season. I thought we'd only have the one, but nope, we got two. Today we're talking about The Detective Is Already Dead. Not as long a first episode as Remake Our Life, coming in at 46 minutes. So again, watching the first three episodes, we've basically watched an hour and a half's worth. However, unlike the previous show we spoke about, this one actually felt like an extended, longer episode as opposed to two episodes clipped together. But I'm getting ahead of myself. The Detective Is Already Dead is based on a light novel of the same name, and it's a mystery, drama, comedy romance, at least according to my anime list. It's been animated by ENGI Studio, who have not worked on too much, but they have worked on a couple of big shows that have recently come out, including Uzika-chan Wants to Hang Out. And Full Dive, the ultimate next-gen Full Dive RPG, is even shittier than real life. That is the full title. And this one doesn't have a rating on my anime list, but I assume it is a PG-13 and up due to some of the themes. There's a tiny bit of blood in the first episode, but what is it? Well, The Detective Is Already Dead is, how do I even explain this? The protagonist is kind of like, they're a crisis magnet. They seem to attract bad things. They're involved in a lot, well, not directly involved in a lot of crime, but like just crime seems to happen around them. So much so they're on like good terms with the police and this particular detective just because of how much they're involved in incidents. And when being dragged into basically smuggling something on an airplane, the airplane gets hijacked. They ask for a detective. He happens to be sat next to the detective. He's now their sidekick, and not even hijinks happens, just like madness entails. Like the first episode, we start with like a plane hijacking, then there's a tentacle. No, I'm not kidding. There's some sick animation for like the fight scene. That's sick as in good. And then we get like a comedy romance section. There's running in bride's dresses, and like that's just the first episode.
First episode is an absolute corker.
Yeah, loved it.
Absolutely, mate. That fight scene was brilliant. Like, this is the bit where she just pins into the ground and, like, puts the gun just straight down his throat. And she's just like, you can live if you want. And I was like, oh, do that to me. Go on.
Step on me and put a gun in my mouth.
Yes, please.
It's a bombastic opening. Like, it has that slow kind of build up for a couple of minutes, and then it's just straight into it. And, it, like, the stakes just go up to 11 straight away. And I have to admit, like, not that I was on the edge of my seat, but metaphorically, I was on the edge of my seat, kind of really intrigued as to what I was watching. And even in the second half of the first episode, again, the first episode being 46 minutes long, when they're in the school and they're kind of messing about trying to figure out what's going on with this, like, rumor of people disappearing, even then with the hijinks, like, I was still kind of intrigued to see where it was going. And then it just ends that first episode with just, well, the title of the show and the Umayoma Shinderu, that the detective is already dead. And it's just like, wait, you can't just end the first episode by telling us that. Wait, what? And then the second episode starts. Yeah, no, the detective, she dead. She dead.
Yeah, off panel somewhere. And that kind of caught me off guard, because I thought, oh, well, the detective that we saw in the first episode, that's the detective's ghost. But no. Died between like the last 3 minutes of the episode sometime in there, and now there's this new person calling themselves a legendary detective, and I wondered, can anyone just call themselves a legendary detective? Or
I mean, yeah. Yes,
she also points out that she's from Baker Street, and I was like, this is ridiculous.
She's also called Siesta.
Yes. Yes, she is called Siesta. I forgot about all that.
Pals, I'm going to be honest, I think we've got contender for best girl right here.
Well, I mean, doesn't that make it sad when you consider what happens?
Yeah. So just quickly to jump back for a second. Yeah, she dies at the end of the first episode. Spoilers, even that's kind of the point in this podcast. We talk about the first three episodes.
You don't even see it. Like, the guy's just like, at the end of the episode, he's like, for 3 years, we had such a great life. And you're like, fucking hell.
Well, that's the thing, because like by the start of the second episode, because he says that, and I'm like, what? And then you start the second episode, and it's just like, yeah, it's just been like a 4 year time skip. You're just like, what? Because the episode ended, and I thought it was going to be one of those things where it's like, oh, that's the end of the show. That's like the foreshadowing, and you know, the title gives it away. So I assumed that by the end of the season, we would find out how she died, or like, you know, that would be, it would end with her dying. But no, she's dead. She's just dead right at the start of the second episode.
Like the book, John dies at the end.
Wait, what?
That's the book title.
Oh, no.
So we kind of went in expecting the detective to be dead.
Yeah. But in actuality, it starts with her being alive and then dying, but we just don't see that. And it's, I mean, I like it. I think it's ballsy to commit so much to a character, because she gets that really cool fight. I'm going to go on about this fight scene a lot, by the way. She gets a really cool fight scene, and she has a lot of personality for a character that's basically just told her, right, you're done now, goodbye.
Yeah, you've summed up two of my notes: nicely paced action and likable characters.
Yeah, it's, I know we mentioned before, like, we've said a couple of shows have had really strong opening episodes, but this definitely has, like, even though it's 46 minutes long, it's a really good opening episode. Like,
yeah.
I'll be honest, you could have, like, extended that to an hour and a half, told me it was a film, I'd probably be content.
Yeah. I genuinely would have accepted an hour and a half episode just to see the relationship of the character and her develop a bit more before they popped her off. Because I liked where it was going, and I liked his sort of like, no, I'm not a sidekick, and her being like, oh, well, yes, you are.
It was the bit where, like, because the hijacker gives up really quickly, and then the fight scene starts. It's the fact that, like, she just picks him up over her shoulder and just, like, bolts down the plane. And I was like, I like her.
When she picks him up and flies out the window with him.
Oh, when they're in the... Yeah, when they're in cosplay for some reason. And
she's
then,
wearing shoes that can walk in the air.
Yes.
It's one of her 7 detective tools.
And we didn't see any more tools after that.
Well, no, we saw it. She has the shoes that fly and the key that basically a skeleton key that opens any lock, which is how she gets into the protagonist's house and then just keeps ordering pizza, which... Actually, do you know what? The more I think about Siesta, the more I think she might actually be best girl of the season, just purely on that.
It's my favorite bit is she walks, he's in the bath, and she's trying to convince him to become her sidekick. And he's like, he's not having it. And then eventually he gets to a point where he's like, right, well, what are the terms? Like, what do I get if you make me your sidekick? And he gets out of the bath, and she just opens the door while he stood there naked. And, like, neither of them really comment on the fact that she's done this. And then randomly at the end, she just looks at his dick and she's just like, I'm only thinking about the pizza that's on its way. It's not that great. And then she walks off.
Yes, because he's like, can you at least acknowledge what's happening here? It's just that I'm too busy thinking about the pizza. At that moment, I was just like, Siesta, my heart, it's yours.
The main character is certainly an interesting one. He's always nonplussed. He's always cool and calm. People are calling him names. Most anime protagonists would be screaming back, I'm not a pervert, blah, blah, blah. But he's like, stop calling me a pervert, whatever.
It's because, well, I think the whole point is that, like, he's not, though, is he? Like he doesn't have to, like, get angry about it, because he's actually just like, I can't be honest with any of this. I want to go home.
He's really blasé with everything. Like, he's just kind of, not monotoned, but he's very chill. And by the second episode, where we obviously have to accept that there's been a 4-year time skip, he spent 3 years with Siesta, and, like, He still calls himself a sidekick. He doesn't want to be the ultimate detective, but he's clearly learned a lot. Also, just going back to the very start of the second episode, speaking of good lines and good quotes, it's the bit where they're like, they're clearly planning to do something involving guns. And, you know, he makes a comment about, like, well, hang on, this sounds like a dangerous plan. What if I die? And she's like, it's okay, I'll delete your browser history. And he's like, oh, good. Wait, you looked at my browsing history?
Yeah, I love that. My favorite quote that I wrote down was just because it seemed to come out of nowhere when in the second episode with the new legendary detective, when they're going to the concert, she grabs him, I'm going to murder you multiple times.
Yes.
That means stitches.
So a few things I have to draw attention to that were my notes. Firstly, it blew my mind that they somehow managed to get to Hololive VTubers to just appear in the anime, and then after I looked into it, no, that was official. That's the first official cameo of Hololive members in an anime, so that's awesome. And it makes sense because they were hosting an idol show.
Nice.
Although in the world of the detective is already dead, that they look they're actual people, but I guess it makes sense because they're idols. Anyway, also I suppose the quote twist of the second episode, if you will, which isn't really a twist because it's blatantly obvious as soon as the episode, like, as soon as they're in the coffee shop, which is like 5 minutes into the episode,
That was really bizarre, because like, I was like, how has he not figured it out?
Yeah. So, like,
well, you explain what it is, and I'll...
Yeah, sorry. Just to, again, basically explain the entire second... Well, this is the weird thing. This will give away the entire second episode, but this sets up... This is why I feel like the first episode maybe should have been an hour, and maybe this could have been incorporated into that. But anyway, the start of the second episode... He gets approached by this new girl, and she's like, I need you to help me find someone who I don't know who they are, but I need to find them. I know I do. And long story short, you find out she had a heart transplant, and he concludes that, oh, it's memories. It's, you know, I really want to make a phantom pain joke here, but it's not quite the same. And the big revelation, although it's blatantly obvious if you're paying attention, is that the heart she got is Siesta's heart. And he kind of like, he doesn't have a big breakdown, but he breaks down a little bit, because obviously he got attached to Siesta and has a bit of a emotional moment. But that just blew my mind a little bit, because it was like, hang on a minute, like, because as soon as I figured it out, like, I was like, is that what they're doing? And they confirmed it. I was like, hang on a minute, this is mad. Like, you've killed her off in the first episode, and now she's quote unquote back, but she's not.
I'm assuming that's the case of what she is. Like, whenever one of them die, they get their heart put in another person, and then that person sort of retains stuff about them.
The thing I find weird is the show, it's tagged as mystery, but I feel it should be tagged as supernatural, because there is clearly some sort of supernatural element going on here.
Yeah, but it can be both.
Well, I suppose, yeah. Because there's an underground ring of androids as well. Yeah. Like, there's so much going on in the first two episodes.
They even go to the android from the first episode and like have him help, like, figure out what's with this woman, what's with her heart. And he's like, well, why are you friends with this bloke? What's going on?
I've just realized that some of my confusion stems from the fact that I watched episode 1, 3, and 4.
Wait, what?
I missed the second episode somehow.
What do you mean? So you didn't see them in a coffee shop?
I want you to know that I'm not editing this out. This is staying in.
I know. That's why I didn't just casually message you after the podcast.
Oh, dear. Well, there you go. I've told that there's the bit you missed.
Thank you. That makes more sense.
What do you think was going on when you watched that third episode, out of interest?
Well, it starts with Sidekick being accosted by an idol and this random woman saying, hey, I'm the legendary detective. And I'm like, what?
Oh my gosh.
I gathered through context and various things that happened in the third episode that she's had a heart transplant and all that, but I was so confused at the start.
At what point did you realize you'd missed the second episode?
About 5 minutes ago.
That is actually brilliant. Oh, I love that.
I just want to point out to our listeners that as of right now, of recording, I'm the only person who successfully watched every episode that we were meant to watch. Thank you.
So, successfully, because Ace has made a mistake.
Yes, but still done it, and that's what matters. Sometimes just clicking the right episode number is a very important part of our job when it comes to this podcast. And one of us has failed on that.
To be fair, Peach Boy Riverside did air out of order, so I think we were all confused. So it can catch you out, the listeners. It's good to double check. Refocusing slightly for a minute. I'll be honest. First episode, loved it. Did drag on a little bit. Second episode, hey, this is... I kind of saw this coming, but I'm still intrigued. Third episode, kind of meh. I don't know how you felt about the whole introduction of the idol and that kind of... Well, Ace knows, because Ace has watched the fourth episode, so no spoilers from Ace. But
I won't.
Rhodes, how did you find, and Ace, I suppose, as well, how did you find that sudden, because it's a bit of a tonal shift, they're now suddenly dealing with an idol and trying to stop a jewel heist.
I thought it was okay. I thought the whole point of it was to show the sort of like the back end of what these great detectives do. I think at this point you'd only ever seen, well, obviously she'd only been in it for an episode, but you'd only ever seen her in action. She turns up, she finds the person she's looking for, and she fights them. Whereas, like, I think it's trying to show, like, the details of, like, one of the whole points of the first episode was that Siesta would do this thing where she, before she even turned up, for the crime of what was about to happen. She knew who it was, and she knew exactly what they were going to do. She knew every single step they were going to take. Whereas I think that the whole idol thing is, I think it's trying to show that it's not very easy to do that, especially when you're working with certain people who can be very annoying and demanding.
Yeah, that's true. I'd actually forgotten about that element. So yeah, I suppose it is just showing us the difference between the two of them, because, you know, he still calls himself a sidekick. Because that's the thing, we find out in the first episode that, like, the reason he is on that plane is because of Siesta. Like it's all, it is very, like, you know, like in the live action Sherlock Holmes film, where, like, deducts everything and it happens in like a few seconds. It's like that, but like slower and way cooler.
I think the reason they've brought in this idol character is so you can actually see them do detective work rather than just fighting androids.
Yeah, because it would have just been a series of her just being like, I figured it out, let's go, and you'd have been like, wait, can you give me anything to work with here?
I think that's probably why they killed her off so quickly, because it's the Superman problem. When you've got Superman on the Justice League, what do the others do?
Yeah.
Well, you create things for them to do, or you get rid of Superman.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting. And I imagine that we might get flashback episodes. I don't know. It'll be curious to see how it kind of unfolds, especially because it's based on a light novel as well, which historically light novels can be very peculiar in how they're structured. So I'd like to see how that comes together in the later episodes.
I like the fact that the new girl and the old girl are like arguing with each other in her head. It's kind of like I think there's a Deadpool comic book series. I'm sure Ace can confirm that one.
Daniel Way.
Yeah, and he's got the is it like the Shield agent living in his head?
Oh, that was Dugan, Gary Dugan. Yes, technically.
Yeah, and it's like I'm not saying that this is going to be one where Siesta lives inside the head of the person her heart's been transplanted into. I don't think we'll actually see her again other than flashback. But I think they're going to keep playing on the idea that it's either going to be a case of they constantly bicker because, like, she thinks she's there when she's not, or she's going to try and, like, this sounds dumb. I hope they don't do this, but she's going to try and, like, take over the girl's body, which would be really dumb. Right? I don't want that to happen, but it could go that way.
It's probably more likely that, like, over time, the protagonist will just see this girl as Siesta, and eventually they'll just replace, like, we will see Siesta, but actually it's the other girl. I also want to just point out that the police detective, or the police inspector, sorry, who just, like, rocks up now and again, she's great. She has very few lines, but I just love her because she has bright red hair, and every time we see her is just smoking. I don't smoke, but there's just something about this anime character smoking that I'm like, yes. But I guess not as much as Siesta putting a gun in your mouth and stepping on you.
Oh, that is.
That I'm sorry, but that fight scene was just, it was so well animated. It might very well be, like, that so far of all the shows we've talked about, like, the highlight of animation so far. Like, it's stunning.
Yeah, it's very good. There are a few bits throughout it where I think the visual quality dips a little. But those little dips are far outweighed by the moments where it hits some unfathomable highs. Like, it's incredible. Like, the fight scene obviously is one. Basically any time someone's holding a gun is pretty good.
Yeah. On the point you just made about the dips, like, I actually, when I was watching it, I felt like it was more of a stylistic choice. Like, it doesn't, I wouldn't say it was missed frames, but, like, it felt like the lines were broken, if you will, like yeah, you know, a lot more jagged. But it works, especially because, I mean, it's funny to say it to praise this fight scene, considering they are fighting on a plane. But when you consider that as well, that, like, there's a very, the choreography is actually quite, is really good, like, how they're moving around the plane and actually fighting. Like, I was really impressed with that. Really, really, really impressed with that. Like, visually, it's stunning. Although, something that does bug me is the way each episode is structured. And that is just before what I assume is the break, obviously, because this is airing on TV. There's a random buildup of music that lasts about a minute. And then, because I assume it then goes to an ad break, obviously when you're watching it streamed, it doesn't have that. That music just stops, and it's really jarring. And every episode does that. They have, like, a kind of intense talky-talky moment where it's like, I'm deducting things. There's music building up the hype, and then it just stops, and then now they're in a cafe.
Yeah, well, that's part of it. I mean, it's not really the anime's fault, but I do get it. Like, sometimes when they build everything around the ad breaks, it can lose a bit of the magic when you watch. on a streaming platform, because obviously those ad breaks aren't there. Yeah, which is why I think it's a stupid idea, to be honest with you, but you know, they make money, don't they?
This is true. And I know we've mentioned this for a couple of episodes, a couple of shows we've spoken about on other episodes, but as always, we'll be giving our final scores at the end of the season. But currently, The Detective Is Already Dead is one of the highest rated out of all the shows we've spoken about on my anime list at the time of recording. At the time of recording, it is a 7.3. As we've mentioned before, most shows struggle to get over a 7. Well, it's time for us to give a vague impression of what we think of the show, although I think it's clear what that answer is going to be. So is it a thumbs up, a thumbs down, or a meh based on the first 3 episodes? Although Ace, I guess in your case, it's the first 2 plus 4.
It's the first, the third, and the fourth. But yes, thumbs up.
Nice. Rhodes?
Yeah, it's a thumbs up for me. I it's probably the best show I've watched so far this year. Even better than Girlfriend and Girlfriend. I'm sorry, everyone.
Get out.
Save that for the end of the season episode where we argue about best girl and best boy. But yeah, it's a thumbs up from me as well. It's the third episode dropped a little bit, but you know what? It's good. I really enjoyed those first 3 episodes, even if it did. I kind of resent having to watch 46 minutes for one episode.
I much more enjoyed the 46 minutes of this than the 50 minutes of Remake Our Life.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you missed that, check out last episode where we talk about Remake Our Life. But I think that'll do it for this episode. Thank you, as always, Ace and Rhodes. And of course, thank you very much for listening to this episode of the Powers Anime Lounge. We release new episodes every Thursday and Saturday at 8 p.m. UK time, so make sure to check back to wherever you're listening to this episode to catch the next one when it goes live.